coming up, Lord willing. The healing of the disabled man who had been disabled for many years, his miraculous healing on the Sabbath, and then the response of the leaders prepares us for the astounding claims that Yeshua made about himself in his defense. The command about not working on the Sabbath, he told the leaders, didn't apply to him because just as God works on the Sabbath, so does he, because he is the Son of God who has the same divine authority as God the Father. Wow. Another claim. He was always, constantly, continually directed by God the Father. He was always able to see what the Father was doing. And what he saw, he always did. He never operated independently. He never operated on his own. Another claim. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. The Father loves and trusts his Son and shares all of his plans with his Son. And then the Son will faithfully carry out all of those plans. Another claim. God the Father was going to allow Yeshua to do greater things, even greater miracles than he had done until this point. And Yeshua did. And he will do even greater miracles in the future, like raising Lazarus from the dead, and then his own resurrection was even greater still. Another claim. We know that only God raises the dead. Techiat Hametim, the resurrection of the dead. But just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so Yeshua gives life to anyone he wants. And the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of Yeshua, God's Son. And after hearing his voice, they will rise from the dead. Another claim. We know that judges are to be honored and respected. Yeshua claimed to be the ultimate greatest judge of all, that God appointed him to be the judge of all of humanity, all of mankind, on the day of judgment, so that everyone will honor the Son, Yeshua, just as they honor God the Father. Wow. Another claim. Because Yeshua can do nothing on his own, and he judges as God directs him, his judgment is always right, always just, always perfect, never wrong, never unjust, never unfair in any way. That's the kind of judge you want to appear before. Another claim. The Father has given Yeshua authority to judge all of mankind because he's the Son of Man. Not just the perfect human being, which of course he is, but he's the Daniel 7, Son of Man, who appeared before the Ancient of Days and was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race, nation, language would obey him forever. Another claim. Anyone who believes that God the Father sent Yeshua and has faith, confidence, belief in Yeshua will never be condemned for their sins. They'll be forgiven, and they will live forever. Another claim. Those who hear Yeshua's voice, who hear Yeshua's voice and then listen to his voice will live forever. Another claim. Yeshua has not created life like everyone else, but divine eternal life, the same kind of life in himself that God the Father has. These are the most astounding, amazing claims that, in my opinion, any human being has ever claimed. Are they true? How can we know if they're true? Yeshua supplies us with the witnesses. Verse 31. If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. Not because what Yeshua said about himself is invalid or wrong, but because according to the Torah, two or three witnesses are needed to confirm something important. Not just one witness. So, Yeshua needs another witness. He gives us more than just one witness. Verse 32, but someone else is also testifying about me, and I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you send investigators to listen to John the Baptist. Remember, he's talking to Jewish leaders. And John's testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so that you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining light, and you were excited for a while about his message. So the first witness to Yeshua's claims, John the Baptist, what he said about Yeshua. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet who ever lived, according to Yeshua, greater than Moses, greater than Isaiah, Jeremiah, any of the other prophets of Israel. And John declared that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John declared that Yeshua would baptize people, immerse people, not in water, but with the Holy Spirit of God himself. John testified that Yeshua came from heaven and is greater than any other human being. John testified that Yeshua was sent by God and speaks God's words because God gives him the Spirit without end, without limit. John testified that the Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. John testified that anyone who believes in God's Son, Yeshua, has eternal life. And the flip side of the coin, anyone who doesn't believe and obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. This is what John, the greatest of all prophets, said about Yeshua. Matches perfectly with what Yeshua said about himself. We should believe everything that God-inspired prophets say. These are very powerful, validating statements about the Son of God from the greatest prophet who ever lived. His word should be believed. They back up exactly what Yeshua said about himself. Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John. My works, my teachings, and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. Yeshua's works were greater than even the great and powerful testimony of John the Baptist. While John did no miracles, Yeshua did more miracles and greater miracles than anyone else who ever lived. and his great and abundant miracles are evidence that Yeshua was sent by God. Moses was a great teacher. John was a powerful teacher. Yeshua was a much greater teacher than Moses or John. Yeshua was, in fact, the greatest teacher who ever lived. His teaching was true. His teaching is perfect. His teaching is powerful. It is so deep, so simple, so profound, so full of life and hope and God and salvation and eternal life. My works, my unparalleled miracles, and my amazing teaching prove that God sent me. Verse 37, another witness to the truth of Yeshua. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. And you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. The Father who sent me has testified about me himself. Rabbi Glenn, how and when did God the Father testify about Yeshua?
When Yeshua came up out of the water when he was baptized by John, God spoke from heaven. The rabbinical term for it is a bat kol, the daughter of a voice. It's a very rare, rare thing in all of human history that God would speak directly out of heaven, but he did at Yeshua's baptism, saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And so that's the Father testifying about Yeshua. And those who were present that day at the Jordan would have heard it. There's one little problem. The Jewish religious leaders with whom he's talking right now weren't there. They sent that fact-finding delegation to John, but it appears that even the men of that delegation left before this happened. So they didn't stick around for that great moment that occurred. But God did, in fact, testify from heaven, audibly, in the presence of all, that Yeshua is his beloved Son.
You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. Rabbi Jerry Yeshua is talking to the leaders of the chosen people, the religious elites. Your thoughts about Yeshua's statement to them?
Well, on a basic level, they're human beings. They have never heard the voice of God directly, and they have never actually looked upon him with their face to face, right? I think of Moses being hidden in the cleft of the rock. So there's a claim here on a basic level of divinity. Again, they're human beings. If they were to look upon God, they would be destroyed. If they were to hear his voice truly, they would be crushed. So there's a claim of divinity here. But as we see in the rest of the verses, here in verse 38 specifically, we see that there's something deeper going on. Not only have they not seen him physically, but they really don't understand him. They claim to know God. They claim to know his will. They claim to do his will. But they really don't know him, because if they did, they would believe in the one he sent, Messiah Yeshua.
So believing in Yeshua, knowing Yeshua, having confidence in Yeshua is like a litmus test to help us know if we really know God, really understand God. If we know and love God, the litmus test will be positive. And we'll believe in Yeshua. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. You don't have his message in your hearts, in the very core of who you are. Again, this is, these are the religious leaders of the chosen people who spend their lives, you know, reading the Bible, praying. You don't have his message in your hearts because you don't believe me, the one he sent to you. Rabbi Glenn, what is God's message and why do we need to have it in our hearts? And how do we know if we have God's message, not in a shallow way, but if we have it in our hearts?
Well, the very first thing is if we are loving Yeshua, whom he sent, that's the very first thing. This is his son. He's the Messiah, but he's also the son of the Father. And if somebody were to disrespect one of my sons, they're not going to be in good stead with me, but whoever receives my sons well. So we have to be loyally following Yeshua. But God's message is very simple. We must repent and believe in Yeshua. That's it. Very simple message. And it needs to be in our hearts because that's his heart. He cares about people's well-being. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to enjoy eternal life. And if he wants that, we should want it, not just for ourselves, but for others. And I think that's how we know we have it in our hearts, is when we allow ourselves to feel the weight of people's lostness, the fact that mankind is in a desperate situation, needing the gospel, and we let it pain us, and we do something about that. I think that's the real indication that we're in walking with him, is when we feel that burden.
Rabbi Jerry, any thoughts? You don't have his message in your hearts because you don't believe me.
Yeah, I'm just building on what Rabbi Glenn was saying. You know, it creates this burden in our hearts, and it leads us to a certain action, many actions, in fact, many fruit, which Yeshua will go on to describe later. One of them is a burden for the lost, a desire to see other people come into God's community. But again, going back to the original audience here, these leaders, what are they seeking to do? They're seeking to kill him, right, in this moment, right? They're finding trumped up charges to be able to kill Messiah Yeshua. Okay, so their belief is leading them to the fruit, the action of killing Messiah Yeshua. That's clearly the wrong type of fruit to have. And so in our lives, as we think about ourselves as believers, what is it that our belief, if it is in our hearts, is causing us to do? Are we trying to build up Messiah's community? Do we care about evangelism? Do we care about our fellow human beings? Or are we acting in a selfish way, in a way to keep our own power and control, kind of like what's going on here in this passage, or in all the many numerous other ways our society falls apart? Again, if we truly have it in our hearts, it will be reflected in our actions.
A lot of religious people, and I'm talking about those who call themselves Christians or Messianic Jews, they have God's message in their minds, but frequently that message is not in their hearts. They know the truth, but it doesn't penetrate to the core of who they are, their hearts. How do we know if we have God's message in our hearts? We will love Yeshua. We will want to be close to Yeshua. We will want to read about Yeshua. We will want to think about Yeshua. We will want to live like Yeshua. We will want to proclaim the good news, the gospel, to a lost and dying world like Yeshua. Do you have God's message, not just in your mind? I know almost all of you do, but in your heart. Rabbi Jerry, what does this teach us about Orthodox Judaism, other kinds of Judaisms, even Islam. You don't have God's message in your hearts because you don't believe in me, Yeshua.
Well, I think many Jewish people, many Muslims would say that they do believe in Yeshua. Many Jewish people would say he was a great rabbi, a wise man. Islam will acknowledge Yeshua as a prophet. But these things fall short of who Yeshua claimed he was. You know, setting aside, if we did it for a moment, if we were to set aside all of God's word, right? Old Testament, New Testament, except for just this passage here in John 5 that we've been walking through the last couple of weeks. Just taking that small passage on its own, what Yeshua has been saying about himself to these leaders, and compare it to what most Jews think about Messiah Yeshua and what Muslims think about Messiah Yeshua, we will find that their beliefs do not line up with what Yeshua says about himself here, being fully God and fully man, being the only way to eternal life, being sent by God the Father, the triunity of God that's expressed here. So the reality is that rabbinic Judaism, a Judaism apart from Messiah Yeshua, and Islam cannot save us. They do not truly believe in him. And that's not my opinion. That's fact based on the words of Messiah Yeshua himself. And again, just from, you know, I'm a Jewish person. I grew up going to a Reformed temple. These leaders, these Jewish leaders he's talking to, these are not uneducated people. They know Torah. They know Talmud. They're in positions of leadership because they're shown to have had human wisdom. And yet, Messiah Yeshua is telling them they have completely missed the mark. Is it so hard to believe that a couple thousand years later, people who, Jewish people, they who probably know a lot less about Judaism than these leaders have also missed the mark?
Well, since both Judaism and Islam deny that Yeshua is the Messiah and the Son of God, they are deficient religions. And for that reason, leaders in these deficient religions are unwittingly leading their followers to spiritual death. This is so much more than just having the right philosophy. This is life and death, eternal life or eternal death. But to me, the big irony is that the Jewish people and Muslims, all this tension, all this hostility across all these years, and the one person who can bring us together is off limits in both camps. How sad is that?
Verse 39. Another witness to Yeshua's claims about himself, the scriptures, the word of God, the Bible. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Wow. I am the focus of the Bible. Yet, you refuse to come to me to receive this life. This is another shocking, astounding statement by the Son of God. Rabbi Jerry, any thoughts?
Building over and over again. On top of each other, the arguments Messiah Yeshua is making as we come here to the final conclusion in these verses, it's more and more shocking. I mean, again, just we see this over and over, but imagine hearing these words as people who are members of the Sanhedrin, hearing these words saying that you search the scriptures for eternal life, you've spent your life studying God's word, and you've completely missed the point of the book you spent your life studying. Why? Because it points to me, Messiah Yeshua, and you're rejecting me, and I'm the one who can give you that eternal life that you seek. You can't find it for yourself and get it for yourself. Again, it'd be the height of blasphemy unless he truly is the Son of God. And again, the witnesses show that he is.
Consider that the main purpose of giving the scriptures in the first place was that so Israel, and by extension mankind, would not only enjoy a better life despite a fallen world, but that we might search those scriptures, follow them through to where they're leading, which is to the coming of the promised Messiah, and then recognize him and honor him when he appeared. So the scriptures point the way to the Messiah, and he himself is the way to having eternal life. And they missed it.
Yeshua is claiming that he is the main theme of the Bible, that the entire revelation of God, starting from Genesis, the fall in the Garden of Eden, the promise of the arrival of the seed of the woman, a special human being who would undo the catastrophe that had just taken place and reconcile us to God, the God that we're all estranged from now. The whole Bible, from Genesis to the end, is all about him being the Redeemer, the Savior. It's not about laws and mitzvot and Torah observance like the Orthodox think. It's a story of redemption, messianic redemption, through a very special line culminating in the arrival of King Messiah Yeshua, who will live a perfect life, die on a cross to make atonement for us, to reconcile us to God, so that we can live forever with our wonderful Creator. So, what is the Bible about? One word, Yeshua. From start to finish. The messianic prophecies, of course, talk about Yeshua. The types, the shadows, people, and events found in the Bible point to Yeshua. The whole Word of God unfolding is about the arrival of the Son of God, the Redeemer and Savior. This is what Yeshua is claiming. Thoughts or no?
Well, just one last thing about this. You know, because of their a priori rejection of Yeshua, Jesus as the Messiah.
Wait, what does a priori mean?
Before the fact.
Okay.
In other words, they're prejudiced. I think people know a priori. Anyway, but because of this prejudice, right, the prejudice of rejecting Yeshua as the Messiah, the rabbis and their yeshiva students are entirely missing the forest for the trees. They're studying minutiae. They're missing out on eternal life. And I would have to say that even more so today than back then, the rabbis and the yeshiva students are not even studying the Torah truly. They are studying what other rabbis have said about the Torah and what yet other rabbis said about what those rabbis said about the Torah, and then what yet other rabbis think about the discussion between those other rabbis about the Torah. It's like pre-digested vitamins. I'd rather have my food whole and fresh. I want the Word of God. They're not studying the Torah. They're studying opinion, opinion, opinion. All this study of the Talmud is in vain, and they're really missing the mark.
But even if they were studying the Torah itself, if your focus is not on the arrival of the Messiah and it's not connecting with you that Yeshua is the Messiah, the prophecies, the types, the shadows, the story unfolding, the people, the events, everything is about Yeshua, then you can study, you know, the Torah, the Bible, every minute, every waking minute of every day, and you will not receive eternal life. You'll remain unreconciled, alienated from God.
And they're not even reading the scriptures. I mean, to be honest, I've had discussions, and I think you have too, with Orthodox Jewish yeshiva students. I've had discussions with rabbis who didn't know some of the most basic things in the Torah, let alone the prophets. So they really don't know.
So another witness to the reality of Yeshua, the Bible properly understood. So clearly points to the arrival of King Messiah. He is the one that gives us eternal life and reconciles us to God, not the book itself, right? The book points to him. He's the giver of life. Verse 41, your approval means nothing to me. Talking to the leaders of Israel, your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Rabbi Glenn, why would these statements be so shocking to the Jewish leaders?
Okay. The religious leaders were accustomed to being given the red carpet treatment. They were shown respect and deference and honored everywhere. They go, oh, Rabbi. And here's Yeshua, who hasn't studied in any of their yeshivas. He didn't bother to consult with them before he began his public ministry, whose disciples are a bunch of Galilean redneck simpleton fishermen, and he's calling them out for their hypocrisy. They were not used to that at all.
Rabbi Jerry, Yeshua talked about God's love. What is God's love, and why do we need to have God's love within us?
Well, God's love is, at a basic level, loving the things that he loves. And God the Father loves God the Son. So if we claim to have God's love, we must love Messiah Yeshua as well. But not just as an object or just saying, I love Messiah Yeshua, putting it on a t-shirt like I love New York, and walking around with it, it means we have to love what he taught, believe what he believed, and do the things he has called us to do, to walk lockstep in the will of God the same way that God the Son walks in lockstep with the will of God the Father. And we know if we have God's love in us is if we are doing these things, if we compare. Scripture cannot save us and give us eternal life. You know, memorizing scripture is not the test when you go to heaven to get in the door. But what scripture does do is it allows us to check ourselves against an objective source of truth. This is why the Bible is hated by so many people. This is why a lot of people don't want to read the Bible, because they know if they truly read this book, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, if you truly read the scriptures, if you read these teachings of Messiah Yeshua, you're going to come away convicted, because you're going to see that there are areas in your life that do not align with scripture. And then you have to confront the truth of, do I change the way I live or do I not? That's what these Jewish leaders are being confronted with. Do I change the way I'm thinking about Messiah Yeshua, or do I not? And that shows you whether or not you have God's love within you.
Rabbi Glenn, Yeshua said to the Jewish religious leaders, you don't have God's love within you because I've come in my Father's name and you've rejected me. Your thoughts about God's love and God's love within us and its connection to Yeshua?
Well, God's love is expressed tangibly in the lengths to which he went to rescue us from eternal death. If we would imitate his quality of love, it means caring for those around us, the needs, especially the spiritual needs of our fellow human beings. Again, if we'll allow ourselves to feel the lostness of humanity and each do what we can to advance the good news, that's loving him, because we feel what he feels. We want to do what he's doing. And then he said he came in God's name. Come in God's name in this way of using it has to do with reputation and authority and objective. When Messiah Yeshua said that he came in God's name, he meant that he was deputized with the full authority of the Father, and that his purpose was to uphold God's reputation and to advance the Father's agenda. So all of those things are wrapped up in that idea of I've come in my Father's name. He has the authority of the Father. He has the reputation of his Father in mind, and he has the objectives and the agenda of his Father in mind.
If you would ask a religious Jewish person, maybe a religious Muslim, do you love God? And does God love you? The answer would be, yes, I love God. And God loves me because I'm obeying him, carrying out his will. Yeshua says, you don't love God and you're not acceptable to God unless you believe that I have come with in my Father's name representing him. He sent me. So if we really love God, we will love the one that God purposely sent to be the Savior of the world. We will love Yeshua, and we will love what Yeshua loves. Right? We'll know what Yeshua wants, what he doesn't want, what he likes, what he dislikes. We will love what he loves. And then we will do what Yeshua has told us to do. That is real love. What can we say about people who reject Yeshua, the one that God sent, but then accept false teachers, false prophets, false messiahs who God didn't send? Rabbi Glenn, let's start with you. You've done a little bit of study on, especially on false messiahs among the Jewish people.
Yeah, I had the privilege of working with Dr. Gene Mayhew on an encyclopedia of messianic candidates, which is just a nicer way of saying false messiahs, in Judaism, Samaritanism, and Islam. What can we say about people who reject Yeshua, but then they accept false teachers and false prophets? When we reject what is authentic, we leave ourselves wide open to being deceived by counterfeits. Israel's leaders rejected the true Messiah and have since suffered the deceptions of many false messiahs across our history. It has spawned tragedy in multiple generations. And perhaps even worse, this litany of false messiahs across Jewish history has led our people to become rather jaded about even the topic of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. Most Jewish people, even many rabbis, just don't even want to talk about it. And it's very sad. I mean, the only thing most Jewish people today know for certain is that, well, as Jews, Jesus is off limits. Most of our people can't tell you the first thing about Scripture or the nature and character of God. They only know what they don't believe. And we'll repeat it like a mantra. I'm Jewish. Jews don't believe in Jesus. And that, unfortunately, for a huge number of Jewish people, is the sum total of their knowledge of Judaism.
How ironic. All right, final section. Yeshua warned these leaders that if they continued in their rejection of him, they would experience an awful surprise on the day of judgment, verse 45. Yet it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believe Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. But since you don't believe what Moses wrote, how will you believe what I say? Rabbi Jerry.
As we read earlier, they searched the scriptures. Most likely, they would read the Torah quite a bit in the synagogues every week. Even today, over and over, Moses is read. Moses points to Messiah Yeshua, the writings of Moses through the Holy Spirit. If they can't even believe the words of Moses, who they claim is their rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, how much more will they not believe what Messiah Yeshua taught? Because they couldn't believe what they already accepted that is talking about him. Yeah, they're missing the mark. They claim to be wise and to be learned in all these things, but their actions, believing in false messiahs, missing the mark about Moses, everything else Messiah Yeshua said, this is the conclusion, shows that they're wildly off base and they need to adjust course.
Yeah, and now according to Yeshua, these religious leaders were really only paying lip service to the Torah. Had they genuinely believed what the Torah said, they would have welcomed Yeshua, yielded their authority to him, since he is Israel's true teacher, true king. But their rejection of Yeshua was therefore a rejection of the very words of Moses. Despite all the religious talk and the religious activity, they didn't really believe Moses. Now, the scary thing is that's discomfortingly close to every one of us. It's closer to us than we'd like to imagine. So many people today are only paying lip service to Yeshua, but they have no intention of obeying his teaching or submitting to his authority. They are entirely self-willed. Well, the Bible says, I don't care. Yeah, I know, but, right? It's closer to us. May God wake us up from the delusion that we are all just fine.
God raised up Moses to help us identify the Messiah when he came. Moses is like John the Baptist, the preparer of the way for the Messiah. And so is the prophets. Moses and the prophets are all about Yeshua. And these men who claim to love Moses and be faithful, loyal followers of Moses and reject Yeshua, they are going to be in for such a shock on the day of judgment. Moses is going to be the prosecuting attorney. I never knew these people. They didn't listen to me. I deny that they're my disciples. And Yeshua is going to be the judge. Wow. Thank you, Rabbi Glenn. Thank you, Rabbi Jerry.